Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, our children are gone. Our family are falling apart. We as a nation have totally forsaken.
Oh, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. Heal our land. And we turn.
To Blog Talk Radio, If My People. I am your host, Leona Ross. I know it's been a while. You haven't heard me, but I'm glad to be back. Today, we're going to continue our series on the mind. What are your thoughts? Y'all know last time we were talking about how we form the thoughts that is not in accordance with God's will. In other words, they go against God's will. So today we're going to be taking a view of how our thoughts can derail our purpose in Christ Jesus, how it can stop us from being successful, how our thoughts can delay some things that God has promised us. So right now, I want to play a couple of songs for you, then we'll be right back to get into it. But first, let me take some care of some housekeeping things. If you want to call in, our call-in number is 516-531-9550. If you want to make your views known, or you can join us online at blogtalkradio.com/RRL345. Either way, we'd love to have you join us. So let me play a Here We Are with Ancient of Days by Ron Canole.
Call him later. Announcement. Call him. Oh, yeah. Lord, we just continue to celebrate you. We worship you not only with our mouths and with our hands clapping and feet dancing, but Lord, we even worship you on our instruments tonight. Oh, yeah.
When I'm up, when I'm down,
I will bless the Lord.
Whether I'm smiling or wearing a frown,
I will bless the Lord.
I learned how to bless His name.
I will bless the Lord.
I learned how to give Him praise.
I will bless the Lord.
Cause He's been good.
I will bless the Lord.
He's been kind.
I will bless the Lord.
He keeps keeping me.
I will bless the Lord.
Keeping me all the time.
I will bless the Lord.
When I don't feel like doing it,
I will bless the Lord.
I'm still clapping my hands.
I will bless the Lord.
Well, you've had to go through trials and great tribulations. But is there anybody that learned how to bless the Lord in the midst of everything? Listen, listen, listen. Through the storm and the rain,
I will bless the Lord.
Through the heartaches and pain,
I will bless the Lord.
But I don't know which way to go.
I will bless the Lord.
You've been there for me right now.
I will bless the Lord.
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 I will sing it. done great things. I'm standing here because you've done great things. I'm existing because you've done great things. Great is your faithfulness. Tell somebody great things. He's done great things for me. He's done awesome things for me. He's done mighty things for me. That's why I will bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hell yes, Jesus. Hey! Glory, glory, glory. Take your seats in here, but I feel a shout right here.
All right. That was Byron Cage with I Will Bless the Lord. And previously, before that, was Ron Canole with Ancient of Days. Again, this is your host, Pastor Leona Ross on Blog Talk Radio, If My People. Again, if you want to be a part of this conversation, I can be reached at 516-531-9550 is the call-in number. If you just want to listen online or get into our chat room, you can reach me at www.blogtalkradio.com/RRL345. All right, today we're talking about the mind, the mindset. We're still on our conversation of the thoughts that we have in our mind. Today, specifically, we're going to be talking about mindfulness, you know, things that stop us from getting to the place in God that God needs us to be. Now, mind you, I said that God needs us to be, not where we want to be. Sometimes we get it confused because we get the idea that since we've been called to the ministry, that the ministry is ours. No, the ministry still belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, who will direct our path if we seek his face for instruction. Again, let me say that again, because I need for you to understand that, especially in this day and time where there are so many self-appointed leaders in the body of Christ who God didn't call them, God didn't ordain them, God didn't speak to them and say, hey, this is who you are. This is what I need you to do in the earth for my people. No, they're just popping up out of everywhere for whatever reason, because they think they got a word. Yeah, we all got a word. As long as we can think, speak, and breathe, yes, we got a word. But is it a word for the people? Or have we been deceived, thus or deceiving others, thinking that what we're saying is a word from the Lord? See? That's why the Bible says, test the spirit by the spirit to see that it is of God. That's in James 4. See? Because everybody who's trying to speak into your life or speak over your life does not have a word from the Lord. Sometimes, as it says, you know, they're just speaking out of their flesh. No idea, as it says in Romans 8:5-6. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. There is a difference. So we have to know these things. There is a difference. See? Because when we're after our flesh, you know, we only concerned about what we want, how we want, when we want it, and how we feel. We're not willing to suffer for the things of Christ. We don't take into account the scripture that says, just as they have persecuted me, so too will they persecute you. But that when things get rough, we tuck tail and run. See, but if God has called you to be in a place for his people, he has called a people for you. And down on the inside of you is a word specifically for those people, for those hurt, broken people who are searching for the love of Christ. Because that's the first commandment. And he said, and the greatest is like unto it. You shall love the Lord God with all thy strength, with all thy might, and with all thy heart. See? And the second is like unto it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, if you don't have that love for God, how in the world can you have that love for his people? We're still talking about mindfulness. See? But it all begins with that foundation of who Christ is in you. And if he's not in you, as it says, let this mind that is in Christ Jesus richly dwell in you. If he's not in you, how in the world can you possibly let this mind that is in Christ Jesus richly dwell in you? You can't. Because all you're going to have is, as it says in Romans, is you're going to be speaking and working out of your flesh. And you are going to leave behind you a trail of hurt people who came to the church, who came to the ministry seeking help, but became victimized. Whether it was for selfish gain or whether it was for narcissism because you just had this high-mindedness about yourself that you were so great. And God never called you. God never called you to be in that place. Because God calls his people to deliverance. He calls his people to know him. That when they come into his presence, there is a change. They are able to look at themselves and say, like in Isaiah 6:1, woe is me, because I am a man unclean, and I live around unclean people. And allow the Spirit of the Lord to cleanse you. But however, you cannot be cleansed if that leadership does not encompass that spirit of the one and true living God. If it's just his flesh, guess what? You're going to leave out the same way you come in. Nothing is going to change. Yeah, you might get a jump and a shout because it sounded good at the time. But the Bible also says, study to show thyself approved. A workman need not be ashamed of his ire. So are you studying the word? Is the word piercing your heart, like it says in Acts 2, that the word pierced their heart? And they said, how can we be saved? See, with that change of heart, you have a change of mind. You no longer want to live the same way that you lived before. Your thoughts are not the same as they were before. We're talking about mindfulness still. See? We're still talking about mindfulness. See? Because we're so easy to get distracted with all that's going on in the world today, especially. See? We're easily getting distracted, being led astray by the things of this world. Remember, Jesus said, you are in the world, but you are no longer a part of this world. He has called you out of the world and called you to himself. So you are separated. See? You're separated. You're no longer a part of. You see what's going on, and sometimes, yes, we are affected by it. Let's not get religious here. Realize the things that go on in the world, yes, we are going to be affected by it. But that should not distract us from that which God has called us to do. Because at the end of the day, if he called us, he will keep us. Let me say that again. If he called us, he will keep us. So the only person, the only way that we cannot fulfill destiny is that we simply just don't get up and do it. Only way that we don't accomplish destiny or we don't accomplish our purpose in Christ Jesus is that we never get up and do it. See? Number one, mindfulness. Is the self-regulation of one's attention. You've got to have an attitude of curiosity, openness, and acceptance to that which God has spoken about you. You can't keep going over, oh, well, this person said that. As it says in Timothy, you cannot be led astray by every wind of doctrine. And now, let me clarify on that when it says that. Every wind of doctrine. Most people think that doctrine is just what you hear in church. No, it's television, it's movies. See, it's anything that takes your attention from the word of God. See? Anything. It can be a movie. It could be your kids running around acting silly. and it's time for you to pray, or it's time for Bible study, or it can be somebody telling you about their philosophy, their opinion on life, or how things should go. See? It can be that. So, it's not just what people think. It's not just that it's the Bible or biblical concept. See, when they say every wind of doctrine is anything anybody can say that takes your attention, that takes your focus from the Word of God and that which has been spoken about you. That's what it means. And see, as we speak of winds, you know, they blow in from anywhere. It can be your family. It can be your church members. It can be your coworkers. See? That's taking your focus off or telling you that what you believe into question. Because the attitude of their mind is not what it should be. See? In 2 Timothy, Paul is speaking, and he's talking about Christian living, and he's talking about how he's instructing Timothy. See, he's telling him that, you know, this word is to equip the body. See, it's to equip. See, so what I need you to do here, Timothy, is pay attention. See, on what I am instructing you, so that you are able to follow the same instructions to instruct the people as a good leader. Not questioning, not doubting that what I am telling you, then herein is the truth. See? Because he told him in verse 4, he said, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. The oneness. In other words, Timothy, we are in agreement. We are in agreement about who God is, how he has set up the church, because as he says in Ephesians 4 and 11, we all say this, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some, not all. He gave some, see, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, not for your own selfish gain. Not for what you think the ministry ought to be going or what you ought to be telling folks. He says, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The fullness of who Christ is, that we walk in his characteristics, in his mindfulness. And once we do this, he goes on to say that henceforth we are no more children tossed to and fro and carried about, as I say, with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, where they lie in wait to deceive you. How many of you, case in point, when we're talking about sources of deception, how many of you have seen a news article or read a magazine article and you just knew, okay, something about that ain't right, that's just not the truth, that's not, you know, really where it happened? We do that every day. We question it every day. Case in point, current situation with this coronavirus. Oh, that many people are not dying. Some people say, yeah, it's more than that. Other people believe, I hear people say, oh, it's not that many. That's just propaganda. But yet you see with your eyes, and many of you have had family members and loved ones and friends who have contracted this ungodly disease, whether it's man-made or, you know, or as some folks say, it's a curse from God. It's just a plague that happens every 100 years and we should have expected. Whatever the origin is, however, the fact remains that people are dying. It doesn't matter the number, because we can see that, in fact, these folks, they're dying. It does exist. So see, when we're talking about being deceived, being distracted from the will of God for our lives, the things of God for our lives, arguing over stuff that doesn't even matter, because the number of deaths from corona, even though it's detrimental, what is it doing to edify anybody in the body of Christ? What is it doing? What is talking about what's happening with this virus, with this pandemic? How is that edifying the body of Christ? So we see that it is an unnecessary distraction. Yes, protect yourself. Yes, do what you need to do to be safe. Yes, but first and foremost, you've got to trust in God. You got to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is your shield and buckler. And as it says in Psalms 91, that you will only see with your eyes. No plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. Your dwelling, since we are the temple of God, is your body. See? It shall not come nigh thy dwelling. And even if it does, even if you come in contact with somebody, you got to believe that no poisonous thing or no harmful thing is going to kill you, that you shall live and not die. Those are the words that God has spoken by his word, by his principles. Those are his promises to his children. But do we think those things? How are we thinking? Do we think that we are beautifully and wonderfully made in the image of God? Do we think that we have that power? Or are we destroying our own self by the thoughts that we have in our mind? Are we accepting the spirit of infirmity? Are we accepting sickness and disease, that it now has an open door? It has a portal for these things to affect us? Are we decreeing and confessing, by his stripes I am healed? We hear a lot of people saying it now, and this is a current euphemism that they use now. Oh, it's a power of positive thinking. No, it's God's word. It's what he says about me. See? It's what he says about me. These are the promises, because his word says that his promises are yes and amen to the glory of God in us. Well, Pastor Ross, how do you demonstrate the glory of God in us? We are the living evidence. We are a living, walking testimony that when the world tells us we can't, God gives us the ability to say that we can. When the world says that we're going to die, God's word says that you shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. When they say you only got so many months to live, and yet 10 years later, we're still here. The evidence. A living testimony. Why? But you got to have the mindset. Let this mind that is in Christ richly dwell in you, that you will live, that you will not die, that you will be successful, that it doesn't matter what mama, daddy, sister, all of those folks said, that you are beautifully and wonderfully made and that you can be successful, you will be successful, and you can and will be prosperous. God's word says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good self. In good health. This is what his word says concerning you. So then, who are you, O feeble-minded man, to speak differently about yourself than what God has already said? He told Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah, do not say that you are a child. In Jeremiah 1:5, he said, because before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. That's what God says. And in Isaiah 55:11, he says this. God says this. He says, my word will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And not only will it accomplish it, but it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. See? In Genesis, he said, seeing that God had nothing else on earth or in heaven to swear by, he swore by himself. There was nothing more holier. There is nothing more truthful. There is nothing more permanent than the word of God. So he swore by himself. See, so that people would know that if God spoke it, then surely it shall come to pass. And then if we're created in his image, how much more so can we not proclaim, profess, and walk in the promises that he has spoke over our lives? Too many times we allow people, places, and things, temporary circumstances to derail God's purpose for our lives. How many of you can look back over the years and say, yeah, I knew I was supposed to do that, and I knew I was supposed to do this, but I didn't think that I can do it? Well, who asked you to think? Sometimes you just got to get up, and like Nike says, just do it. You just got to do it. Stop talking to people about the plans that God has for your life and speak to the Father about it. Write it out. Work on it every single day, because everybody does not have your best interest at heart. Because, oh, well, ain't nobody else in the family ever did that. Why are you going to church? Church ain't work for us. What makes you think that it's going to work for you? Who told you you could be a pastor? Pastor Ross, you know, we don't do that. So you're not saying that they said that to me, but discouragement, distractions, unnecessary distractions, when we get in wrong conversation with wrong people who don't have our best interest, or who don't see us or cannot see us as God see us. They can't see us in the place where the Father needs us to be, where he has placed us, as he told Jeremiah before the beginning of time. Stop allowing people to derail your destiny. Put in those negative thoughts in your mind. See? Remember the Garden of Eden? Eve was happy-go-lucky just walking around the garden, being who God created her to be. Adam didn't have any problems. You know, he was just being who God called him to be, speaking with God in the cool of the day, in the evening, being in his presence, and enjoy the benefits that he had in the garden. Until the serpent came, because he had been cast down, cast out of heaven, because he wanted to be greater than God. Adam didn't want to be greater than God. Eve didn't want to be greater than God. They were already like God. Because when God brought the animals to Adam, whatever Adam named them, that's what they were, and that's what they still are until this day. So whatever Adam spoke, so shall it be. That's what it was. But Satan, jealous, hateful, mean, you know, wanting to destroy God's plan, came to the woman. He said, well, surely, you know, did God tell you? That's your question. And this is how you know that the person, you know, or entity that's coming to you is not of God, and they don't mean you any good. Because they say, did such and such tell you, or did such and such say? See, they ask you a question to see whether you're going to stand on what has been spoken already over your life. He asked Eve, he said, did God tell you that you could not eat from any tree, every tree of the garden? And she said, no, he said, we can eat from any tree in the garden except the one that is in the midst of the garden. Because if we eat from it, we will surely die. Now, you know, Satan gonna tell her, man, listen here, you know what? That's a lie, because he knows that when you eat from that tree, you will not die, but you will be like God, and you will know good from evil. Well, why would you want to know evil? If everything around you, see, is in a positive environment, puts you in a peaceful place, why would you want to trade that for evil? I know y'all ain't heard it like this, but just bear with me for a moment, because this is exactly what happened. Why would you want to bring the negativity into your life out of curiosity? Because that's what it was. He made her curious. She walked by that tree probably a million times, didn't take no thought of it, only she know God said don't eat from that tree. Because that's what Adam told me. Adam said, God said, don't eat from that tree. So we ain't going to eat from this tree. We ain't going to go near this tree. We ain't going to touch this tree. But when somebody makes you curious about a thing, first you start look, you start thinking about it. Then you start looking at it. And then pretty soon your thoughts and your looks, then they become actions. You got to touch it. You just got to go over there and see what it's all about. But when you didn't know about it, you wasn't curious about it. You didn't care about it. Oh, that's some people's business. I ain't got nothing to do with that. That don't concern me. But when somebody brings it to your table, brings it to your attention, something that you shouldn't have not have even been concerned about in the first place, then you want to start looking at it. Then you want to start thinking about it. Why? For what reason? And that's what gets us in trouble. That's what got Eve in trouble. And so she went and she tasted and she said, oh, this man, I ain't dying. This ain't good. It was not immediate. Death was not immediate. So she believed the lie. And that's how we do sometimes. Failure is not immediate. And so we believe the lie. Oh, I can get by with this. No. Is that what God called you to do? Is that what God called you for? See? No. We slowly, you know, we don't see the deterioration of our ministry because of successive acts of disobedience, successive acts of wrong thinking. So because we got away with it the first time, we're going to move on a little bit more. We're going to miss another Bible study here. We're going to miss another church service here. We're going to, you know, not be in the presence a little more than we normally would have been before, because it's not going to hurt anything. But as you're not in the presence anymore of God, as you're not praying anymore as you used to pray, as you're not interceding and seeking God's face as you used to, as you're not studying your word as you used to, each and every day it gets a little bit more easier to not do it. And you're not realizing that your relationship with Christ is straining. God's still there. He hasn't left, because his word says, I will leave, nor will I ever forsake you. He says, I'm a very present help in the time of trouble. But what if you can't recognize you're in trouble because you were just dabbling just a little bit of not studying, not praying, not attending service anymore, and now you find yourself back in the things that you used to do before you so-called got saved? It's just that easy. See? Because once you have a habit of something, this is what keeps you. See? This is what keeps you. We have something that we have for professional licensing, doctors, lawyers, health people in the health industry and educational industry. It's called the continuity of education, continuing education credits. Because things change, and we just cannot not study. We just cannot not be up to date with the things that are changing. Now, if the world knows that, why not the people of God can't know that? That in order to stay up to date with what God is doing in us, that with what God is doing in the earth, we've got to renew our minds. This is what he says. Renew your minds daily. That means every day I need you to be in my presence. Every day I need you to be in my word. So you don't derail the purpose for your life. See? We don't just get to get here, be here, or receive the degree, you know, as we can do sometimes in the world and not do anything with it. God expects us to fulfill purpose. He expects us to do the work. He expects us to magnify him in the earth realm. He expects us to preach this gospel throughout all the world. He doesn't expect us just to come in relationship with him and then sit on the couch at home and not profess or not tell anybody about it. See, we're here for a purpose. We're here for a reason. See, that's why it says work out thy own soul salvation with fear and trembling. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. That means reverence for that which God has given you. I know a lot of y'all, I want y'all to think back to the first time that you got saved and how excited you were, because it was a different feeling. You had that joy. You had that peace. And you just wanted to tell everybody about it. That was that newness. God never wants us to lose that feeling. He never wants us to lose that newness of him, of being in a right relationship with him. As it says in Psalms 139 and 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. I know marvelous are thy works. I'm looking at me. I'm looking at this new creation in Christ Jesus that I have become, and now I am just going to praise you. I'm going to go around and I'm going to tell everybody about you. See, I'm going to tell everybody about you. But then we get comfortable. We get a feeling of familiarity. See, and we forget how good God is. Or we start going through and the things in this world and the things of this life seems to become too overwhelming for us. And rather than go to our Father, which is in heaven, and hallowed, holy is thy name. Rather than go with him and say, God, these are the things that are troubling me. This is what I'm going through right now. But Lord, you said you are a very present help in the time of trouble, Lord. This is the word that you have spoken over my life. Putting him in remembrance of what he has spoken over. You're like, much like Hezekiah did. The prophet Isaiah came to Hezekiah and he told Hezekiah to get your house in order, Hezekiah, for surely you're going to die. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and reminded God, hey, Father, this is what you said concerning me. This is what you said I would accomplish. This is what you said I would do. So how can I die now? I know this body is sick, but your spirit said that these are the things that I would accomplish. And before Isaiah got to the gate of the city, God put it in his spirit of prophet Isaiah, turn around and go back and tell Hezekiah that I have heard his prayer and I saw his tears, and I'm adding 15 more years to his life so that he can accomplish that which I told him he would accomplish. Remember, God's word will not return unto him void, but are we diligently seeking him for the purpose of our life, for the promises on our life, that which he has given us? Are we mindful enough, or are we just accepting the plans and schemes of what the enemy is telling us? Remember, he's always about his job. He is constantly busy trying to destroy that plan, trying in essence to make us come into agreement with him rather than in agreement with that which God has spoken over our lives. See? Because when we don't feel well or things are not going in our way, it's easy to allow the spirit of doubt to come in because we just can't see it. We forget about Hebrews 11:1, where it says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're not going to see it every day. We're not going to see the outcome. A lot of you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, even 3 days ago, you didn't see yourself in the place that you are now. But God saw fit to keep his word, and what? You are here. You're here doing things that you never thought you would be doing, in a place and accomplishing things and possessing things that they said you couldn't have, that they said you couldn't do, that they said that you would never be. Why? Purpose. Allowing God's will to take place, to take precedent in your life, and constantly working towards that. Allowing God to simply be God. See? Just allowing God to be God in your life. And remember what he has said. See? And remembering that even in the times of trouble, as he told, as Isaiah said in Isaiah 48, he said, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." Yes, we're going to go through stuff. But then the Bible also says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers you out of them all. We got to realize that those things are just temporary and not give up on God's purpose for our life. It's just temporary. If he said it, he's going to do it, and it's going to come through. It's going to happen for you because God said it. He said it. How much more so then should we not believe that he will do it? Remember, God is God. He's not a man that he should lie. But what are our thoughts? What are we thinking? Do we know that in Christ Jesus all things are possible? Do we truly know that we can do it? Do we truly know that if he said it, it's going to come to pass? We just got to hold on a little bit longer. Job didn't know that God was testing him. See? But when they came to Job and they was accusing Job, all of his friends coming, "Surely, Job, you have sinned. Job, you done did something for God to turn against you like this." Yeah. Didn't know that the whole time God was trying to prove a point to the enemy. That because God said that Job was an upright and righteous man, that he would not turn his face from God and curse God and die, even when his wife came to him. Imagine the one you love, who betrothed to you for the rest of your life till death do us part. Hate to see you suffering so much that they come to you and say, "Job, curse your God and die." That lets you know her relationship in God wasn't so right. Because she told him, "You just curse your God and die." Not realizing that because Job did have the relationship that he had with the Lord God, they were blessed as they were blessed. She said, "Curse your God and die." Job told her, "Say, you talk foolish, woman. You're speaking foolish. What are you talking about? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Still, blessed be the name of the Lord." I'm still going to praise God. I'm still going to give God the glory. For surely he is still able to restore me. So what are you people talking about? Even when Job got to his lowest point and he said, "I wish I was never born." See? But he still didn't charge God foolishly. See, he just said, I just wish I was never born because this suffering is so great. And he was without understanding. Because when he gets to chapter 42 and Job says, "Now I know the Lord. I only knew of you. Now I've got a personal relationship with you." Yes, I was familiar with the benefits. I was familiar with the blessings, but I never had to go through anything where I didn't have anyone or anything else to depend on except you, God. See, we're talking about mindfulness, the mindfulness of what God has called us to do. And when we're being in a right relationship with him, that even when we're going through stuff, we are mindful to give him the praise. We are mindful of his words spoken over our lives, even when we get to that lowest point. When our friends and family calling us out of our names, telling us, you know, how foolish we are, how dumb we are, how stupid we are for believing in a God that we can't see. But if he brought you out before, if he healed you before, what makes you think that the Lord thy God will not continue to keep his word concerning you. See? Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans of good and not of evil, to bring you to what? To bring you to an expected end. See, I know what I said concerning you. My word didn't change. It's still going to come to pass. See? My thoughts for you are of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Well, if it is an expected end, then it has to be that which God has purposed for your life, because this is what he expects your end to be. Everything else in the middle is just filler. Remember the scripture says, I am the author and the finisher, what? Of your faith. See, I wrote it. I know how it's supposed to be, and I know how it's going to finish. Now, because you have free will, how you go through it is up to you. But these are the things that I have planned for you. Understand that. So don't let your heart be weary. Don't get upset when things are not going right for you, or things are not going the way that you think they ought to go. See? Don't be so upset. Because remember, at the end of the day, I am the finisher. I know the plans that I have for you. I know where you're supposed to be. I know what I have called you to do. And if you trust me, see, it's one thing, and my apostle, and I thank God for him, Apostle James Lorenzo Rutledge, for pointing this out. He says, it's one thing to believe God. It's another thing to trust God. We're still talking about mindfulness. We're still talking about that thought process on a day-to-day basis. See? Are we renewing our minds daily? Are we getting to a place in God where we not only believe him, but that we trust him when we can't see any way out? Do we trust him and say, God, you know, you brought me this far. You said you will never forsake me. You said you will never leave me. So I trust you to work it out. See? Are we running helter skelter because now we all nervous and anxious, when the Bible tells us, do not be anxious for anything, because I know what you have need of. See? If we can remember his word in those times, there's no need for us to look for another. See? Because we can rely on him, and we can have that peace that passes all understanding, because we know that once again, God is going to come through for us, remembering that his time is not our time, and his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts, but he's going to do it. If he said he would do it, then guess what? He is going to do it, regardless of what the circumstances, situation seem like. Regardless of what the enemy is throwing at us, regardless of what our friends, family, those around us who think they're encouraging us, is saying to us. Because I'm quite sure in the book of Job, Job's friends thought that, you know, they was helping him. Job, go on, admit that you messed up. Go on, admit it, and so you can repent, and so God can restore your family, so that God can heal your body, so that you ain't got to keep going through this, Job, because we don't really want to see you suffer. You know, don't admit that you did something, and Job steadfast, you know, no. Haven't done anything. Knowing what God's will is for our life, holding on to every word that he has spoken over us, and not allowing our thoughts to derail that which God has purposed for us. I ain't going to say it's easy. It's not. But you've got to make up your mind that this, hey, I'm hanging on to the promises of God, regardless of what comes up in my life. And even if it gets to a point where, you know, like Job, you know, I'm wishing I was never born, because this is hard. This is difficult. This does not feel good. We'd be liars if we said that, you know, This feel good all the time. Even Jesus on the cross, he had to ask God. He said, why hast thou forsaken me? God himself on the cross, in the person of Jesus Christ, saying, why hast thou forsaken me? The very spirit of the living God in flesh, in the earth realm, is saying, why hast thou forsaken me? And then realize and say, okay, it's done. It's finished. I have come to the end of my course. I've done all that I was supposed to do. Now I've bled and died for all of these people that they might be saved. But it didn't feel good. See, even when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Lord, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me. See, I know the plans that you have for my life. See, I know the purpose for me being here. I know how it's going to end. I know what I'm supposed to do. But if it be thy will, but at the end of the day, he still had a nevertheless, let thy will be done. Can we remember that? Can we say that? Can we profess that? Can we have that down on the inside of us that regardless of what this world throws at us, at the end of the day, we still say, nevertheless, let thy will be done because I know the plans that you have for me. Plans of peace, plans of good and not evil to bring me to an expected end. God never meant evil for us. He wants the best for us. He says, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in good health. See? He says, his word says that he would never hold any good thing from us and that anything that we ask, he would give it to us. So how much more so then if we ask him, won't he give it to us? Because this is what he says. See? This is what he says. This is what his word says. This is what his word says. You ever think about that? That I know I'm going through right now, but later on. Later on. It's got to get greater later. Ever think about the scripture that says sorrow only endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning? That joy that he's able to restore your joy. He wants us to walk in truth and in his spirit. He knows the plans that he has for us. The question is, do we know him? Do we agree with him? The question is, whose report do we believe? Do we believe what God has said about us? Or are we too focused and distracted on the things of this world and what others say when they see us doing a work? When they see us accomplish the things in God, and because they think, because they don't believe that we can do it, they come with their thoughts, their negativity. I didn't ask you for your input. Hell, I didn't even ask you for your help. So why are you here? We have to get that attitude like Nehemiah when he said, "Listen, I'm doing a work for Lord, for God, and I can't come up, down off this wall." Sanballat, I ain't got time for you. I can't come off this wall, Sanballat. I got work to do. See, and you want to distract me. You allowing the enemy to use you. See, to distract me from God's word. And a lot of times, you know, people don't understand that. Sometimes people think they mean well, but they're not aware that the enemy is utilizing them to stop you from doing that which God has called you to do. They don't even know. They don't even know that they're under demonic influence. They have no idea. See? But Nehemiah told Sanballat, listen, this work is too important for me to come down off the wall and deal with your foolishness. Stay focused on what God has called me to do. I'm going to complete the work, and then maybe I might talk to you. Other than that, no, I ain't got time. I'm not coming down off this wall. out. Nehemiah fasted for 3 days before he went to the king. He had just heard about. He heard about that the wall was in disrepair. He was not even in Jerusalem. Somebody came to him and they told him. He just heard about it. See? And he immediately fasted and prayed. He then went into prayer and asked God to forgive him and even his ancestors, because we wasn't right. We dealt with you corruptly. We didn't obey your commandments or any of that. But then he went to the king. See, and the king said, what's wrong with you, Nehemiah? You don't look the same. You have never been in my presence and not been joyful. See? And the king said, whatever you ask, you know, I'm going to give it to you. See, because you're not the Nehemiah that I know. See, Nehemiah was sorrowful because the things of God, not for him on his own personal things, but because the things of God were not right. And the king seeing this and knowing that this was not the Nehemiah he knew, he granted him everything that he needed. He just wrote him a letter. How many of y'all know it's just, sometimes it just takes a letter to get everything that you need? See? But then Sanballat saw the work. He saw this person who he didn't think was qualified to do the work that God called him to do. He was an unskilled person. Who are you to build a wall, Nehemiah? See, what is it that you're doing? See? So first they want to come, you know, and act like they want to help. And see, this is how the enemy uses people. People see you doing something for God. They want to get all interested. They weren't interested in you before. They see you being successful, then they want to come on, we want to help. See? But Nehemiah say, no. You laughed us to scorn before, so you don't have no part in this work. The God of heaven, he will prosper us. So we're going to rise and build, because you have no portion or no right or no memorial in what we're doing. So don't come now and try to jump on the bandwagon. Go on, do what you had to do before. You've got to know when people are coming against your purpose, your vision of that which God has called you to do. They were interested in you before. They were not laughing your name to scorn and all of that before. Guess what? They're not interested in helping you now. They're nosy. They just want to see what you're doing so they can carry, go bring, come. And if you don't know what that means, they want to carry something, bring something, and when it all comes down to it, none of it is the truth. They just want to see what you're doing so they can go run around and advertise it. See, that's why the Bible say what you do in secret, God will reward you what? Openly. See, Nehemiah had to go at night and scout out the walls of the city to see what needed to be done, because he knew if he had published it, even some of the people that were working with him would have said, oh no, that's too big of a job. We can't do that. We can't do that. So Nehemiah took it upon himself to keep it to himself until it was time to reveal it to the people. And if you continue to read the book of Nehemiah, it said even some of the noblemen, they were there. These are the rich people. These are the well-to-do people. You know, they wouldn't even help. They had the means to help. They knew that the work needed to be done, but that ain't important enough to us. Was he worried about it? No, he kept on working. He kept on working, piece by piece, until the vision was accomplished. You can't let everybody know what God has called to you to do. You can't let everybody know what thus saith the Lord about you, because everybody is not going to be for you. Everybody is not going to understand why you do what you do. That's why he said what you do in secret, God will reward you openly. See? We have to understand that. Some people do it out of malice. Some people just do it out of, they are genuinely concerned for you. If you say, well, I'm going to go, you know, I got a couple of bags of chicken and some rice in my house, you know, and I see these people outside, they're homeless, they don't have anything to eat, I'm going to go and feed them. Well, you ain't got no job. Why would you do that? You're going to need that. See? So you can't tell, I mean, I'm just using that as an example. See, so you can't always tell people what God has laid upon your heart to do. And as I said, they don't always, you know, they don't always mean any harm. They're just looking at the situation, as we said, from the fleshly point of view. They don't understand that you got to operate on what God has said, not how you think, not how you feel. You got to operate on what God has said. What you do in secret, I reward you openly. Give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. See? That in a time of famine, God will bless you. Look at the widow woman that God sent Elijah to. He said, there's a widow in Ramah. You go there, and I have caused her to sustain you. Well, when he gets there, she said, well, I'll give you some water, but I can't give you no bread, see, because, you know, I just got enough flour here and oil for me and my son, and we're going to make a whole cake, and we're going to eat it, and we're going to die. Now, that's what she said, but that's not what God said. Elijah didn't even pay any attention to that. When she said, well, what you do, woman, you going on in the house, make me a whole cake of bread and bring it to me first, and then you and your son eat. He never told her she wasn't going to die. That's what she said. God had a new plan. See, that even she wasn't aware of. See? He said, listen, Elijah, you go here to this lady. See, and she's going to sustain you through this drought, through this famine. And so she did. She said, well, okay, since you're a prophet, I'm going to go on and do what you say. Thank you.
I'm not a secular.
Listen to me, I'm a wonder.